Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Durrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, The Demonic World. Everyone at some time or another has wondered who they are and why they exist. The creation narrative of the earth was shared with Adam, and Jesus stated that heaven and earth had been created, but he did not provide details as to what had taken place in eternity past in order to effectively prove his righteousness. Adam and Eve were unaware of the angelic insurrection and the refurbishment of the earth. All Jesus said was that the earth had been damaged to the point that it was without form. There was no light, and the surface was covered with water. The only positive thing was the Holy Spirit hovering over the oceans. Adam was oblivious to how this destruction took place, or who the Holy Spirit was for that matter, so he could face the devil's temptation without bias. This message is entitled, Restoring the Earth. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm glad to have you here today, and I'm going to be speaking about the demonic world is the name of the series, and we're going to be talking about restoring the earth. In your outline, I have 6 points what we have established so far in 2 messages. And that Jesus is the creator. God created angels before he created the universe. There are angelic civilizations throughout the universe with an angel in charge of each one. Additionally, there are other created beings which the Bible refers to as people. Prior to Adam and Eve, Lucifer was the angel in charge of the earth. There were people living on earth during this time. Lucifer led an angelic rebellion against God, which resulted in a space war. He was defeated and captured. At his trial, he was sent to the lake of fire, together with the other fallen angels who joined his insurrection. Lucifer appealed his sentence and accused God of not being a righteous God. And God did not execute the sentence and sent out to prove his righteousness by refurbishing the earth and creating Adam and Eve. Now, if this is the first message you hear on the demonic world, I would simply say go back to the other 2 messages. We have them on YouTube. We have them on our website, because I will not have time to repeat all of that again here today. And I'd like for you to turn me right now to Genesis 1:1. In the United States, we have the Army, we got the Navy, we got the Air Force, we got the Marines, now we got the Space Force. And if you sign up for any of the branches, what they do with you is simply this: they put you in basic training. If you're going to be sent into a combat situation, what they do is this: that they want you to know your enemy. If you're going to be sent to Afghanistan, they are going to tell you about the geography. They're going to tell you about the climate. They're going to tell you about scorpions. They're going to tell you about booby traps. They're going to tell you about how the Taliban works, what they do. They're going to show you pictures. You're going to see pictures of dead American soldiers. You're going to see all kind of different things. Because when you come to Afghanistan, they want you to be an informed soldier, knowing where you are, what to expect, how the enemy works, so you can identify the enemy. And when you see the enemy, you can take him out. We are in a battlefield. The world is infested with demons. Higher up, we got principalities and powers and rulers. We got fallen angels. On top of them, we got the devil who is guiding and leading his entire kingdom. Most people do not know that, and you don't know how to protect yourself. You get defeated and taken out. Now we're going to talk about the earth. What took place on the earth? In Genesis chapter 1, we read this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's a complete sentence. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In verse number 2, we read this. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. In your outline, I wrote this. God did not create chaos. It came about as a result of a devastating space war between Michael and the holy angels opposing Lucifer's insurrection. If you go to a regular Baptist church, a Methodist church, Assembly of God church, and so on, most likely you will not be told that there was a space war. You might have read Revelation chapter 12, but you didn't understand it. As we now have progressed, we are operating in space. We are operating airplanes, submarines. We have total warfare. And so it is important that we understand that we had some type of a destruction. Now, when I started in a Southern Baptist church, and I was told this, God was lonely. And because he was lonely, he created man. So that's why we are created. That's not even a bad joke. That's not truth. God is not lonely. Never was and never will be. Now, if you look at the outline, we have Jeremiah 4:23. Now, the Old Testament is written in Hebrew. And the Hebrew form used in this passage is tuho vaboho, which means a formless void or chaos. And I'm going to read to you right now. You have it on your outline from Jeremiah. This is a prophetic revelation that Jeremiah had. He lived and worked around 600 before Christ. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. And the heavens, they had no light. Notice not plural, heavens. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord, and by his fierce anger. Notice the last three words. His fierce anger. This refers to the ending of that space war. And so we have a glimpse into this now. Okay, let me just stay with the outline here. Rejection by denominations. Christian denominations in the United States and in many other nations reject the fact that the earth has been refurbished. You got the creationist. I'm a creationist. God created, not evolved. But it will be like, let me see if I can paint the picture for you. All of you probably in school have seen Hiroshima, Nagasaki pictures of the two atomic bombs that the United States dropped on Japan in 1945. Let's say now that you come to this place 6 months later, and you look upon the devastation, and you say, wow, this city, 10 miles wide diameter, is wiped out. And your tour guide will say, you know, we really don't know what happened. So we just know that we had this problem, but we don't know what happened, so we can't explain it to you. Really? He says, now, do we have any footage? Do we have any records? And the tour guide says, well, we don't want to go there. You ever heard that? We don't want to go there. And he says, why don't we want to go there? We don't want you to know that the Japanese started the fight in World War II. We were bad people. We don't want you to know that. So we're not going to talk about it. We're just going to show you, look at the devastation. Well, we know better. We know that the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, 1941. We didn't attack them. They attacked us. We responded. There was a war. We dropped two bombs on them. Killed a number of people. And by the way, the two cities, Nagasaki and the other city, Hiroshima, were the center of Christianity in Japan. This is a side note now. So when they selected a target, this was done by people that were what they call in the deep state of the world government. And they selected two cities that had a very high percentage of Christians. They could have selected other cities. Christianity was set back in Japan because of that. Now, denominations, and I've been to seminary 3.5 years, got a master's degree in theology, and I did not have one class on Satan. I never had one class on demons. I never had any class on what happened in the book of Revelation. So when you have your pastors out there, they have not been taught anything. They, matter of fact, they've been taught, you know, Satan does not exist. There are no demons. That's just the imagination. So, a blind leading blinds. Denominations don't want to admit this. Because if they admit, yes, the Bible says it was a space war, now they got to say there is a devil. There are holy and unholy angels. Evil spirit exists. Now, why do they not want to admit that? Because over here, you see, most denominations say there is no such thing as baptism of the Holy Spirit. There is no such thing as supernatural healing. They are so worked up that when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I began to move in the Spirit, I was kicked out. I got the left foot of fellowship for the Southern Baptist Convention. My crime was, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was praying for the sick, and they got well. I cast out demons, and they said, we don't believe that. You can't be part of us. So you got to understand that the reason that you have been suffering all these years with demonic things is because denominations decided it doesn't exist. Who told them that? The devil. The devil doesn't want you to know he exists. Satan has gained control of certain denominations, evidenced by the fact that they do not believe in the supernatural, the spirit world, and a little more. They are nothing more than sanctimonious country clubs. So if you want to go to a country club, you can go to any one of these churches. And they have the programs for your children. They have the programs for yourself. They have for the elderly, for the young people, for unmarried young couples, and so on. They have programs for everything. And they got the music. They got the smoke machines, you know, and they got the guitars and everything else. They have everything except the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're born again, you believe the Bible is the Word of God as found in King James Version, you and I should be able to sit down together and merge biblical revelations with history, archaeology, and technology. Let's talk about the creation narrative right now. The creation narrative of the earth was shared with Adam. I want you to understand this now. Adam was not a baby. Jesus came down to earth. This is my imagination. He came down with a portable laboratory with the latest technology, but the technology is beyond our technology. He had angels with him. And he was going to create a man. Now, to create a man, you've got to have protein. So he had to use elements. Now, the Bible says that Adam was created from the dust of the ground. It's true. So Jesus took now the different particles, carbon, iron, magnesium, whatever it is. And in this laboratory, he created living cells, protein cells, and once he had these cells, he had to program the cell, what we call DNA. You can take any cell in your body, and it has the total code for rebuilding your body. And then, we do not know how long it took to grow this body. Because, you know, you got a skeleton, you got eyeballs, you got nails, you got hair, you got all kind of parts, you got all the interior equipment that we have from kidneys, colon, and so on. And so Jesus simply created that, and he built this man. Now, this is my imagination, it's not in the Bible. I imagined him working in some kind of a container that had water in it. Just like a woman, when she has a baby being growing, she has water around it. And eventually, Adam was grown up, an adult, and now, if you can imagine, just like a mannequin, he just stood in that tank like this. He's not moving. Now, the cells are alive. Go to chapter 2, verse number 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. So here's the body of Adam standing there, and then Jesus inserts a soul and a spirit. And suddenly, the body comes alive. Now you got a person inside. He had also created a soul and a spirit. And Adam now is able to think. He got a complete computer up here and so on. And he sees Jesus standing there. Just imagine now, Adam saying, okay, I don't know who I am. And then Jesus began to talk to him and give him instructions. And Adam now is downloading the information into his computer, in his brain and his soul brain. And he now becomes alive. What would happen if Adam knew about Lucifer? If you get knowledge that today at 2 o'clock, your home is going to be burglarized and there's a thief coming, you prepare for it. You get your guns out, whatever you have. You call the cops. The thief shows up and is met with force and there's no burglar. If you don't have any knowledge, you're surprised, and most likely the burglar would win. God created Adam and Eve for the purpose of showing God's righteousness. We're going to talk more detail on that. So Adam could simply not know about Lucifer, because if he did, when a snake showed up, which is Lucifer possessed, even would have simply said, okay, hey, Adam, he's here. There's Lucifer. Adam would have said, hey, Jesus, we got the snake over here now. He couldn't know. So Adam, it would have been impossible for Lucifer to tempt him. As a result, Jesus simply stated that the earth had been destroyed, there was no light. Now, when we read that today, 6,000 years later, we have knowledge, technology knowledge that Adam did not have. We know about the space war, and we can say, I understand. In order to effectively prove his righteousness without bias, Adam and Eve were purposely kept in the dark about what had taken place prior to their existence. Rejecting the devil's temptation would be based upon the will of Adam and Eve to obey God and reject sin. If you look now in Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die. That's the only instruction they had. So, the entire temptation was, could Lucifer tempt Eve and Adam to sin and thus destroy God's plan? Why did God not protect Adam and Eve from the devil if they were created to prove his righteousness? That doesn't make sense unless you realize that God also gave mankind the ability to repent and to be saved from eternal punishment. And in Genesis 3:15, we read this. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. The angels did not have a redemption plan. Once they sinned, that was it. They cannot be redeemed. God made man to simply prove his righteousness. And because of that, he had a plan of redemption. The complete plan of salvation was not revealed to mankind, or Jesus would never have been crucified. The redemption plan was hidden from Lucifer. He did not know that God the Son would pay for the sins of the humanity. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And you pick it up from verse number 6 through 8. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And then if you turn to 2 Corinthians 5:18, and this is what Lucifer did not know. He knew that God was going to redeem mankind. He did not know how. Okay, I want you to stop and really put some thinking in now. In the Old Testament, it doesn't say any place how redemption was going to take place. The Old Testament said there's a Messiah coming. The Messiah will take away the sins of the world. But it did not say how. Because, you see, the devil reads the Bible every day. He knows the Bible more than you and I do. He knows every verse. The demons know every verse in the Bible. They can quote the Bible to you. They do from time to time. What was the secret? The secret you find in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We find this in verse number 18. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, and imputing a trespass unto them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Satan knew that somehow there was going to be a redemption plan. So here's what the devil thought. He saw the incarnation. He knew there would be an incarnation because he tells it in the Old Testament. So he was well aware of that Mary got pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And we had Jesus born. So Satan had really planned it well, because who tried to kill the baby as soon, shortly after he was born? King Herod. And you know the story that King Herod asked the wise man, tell me where he is so I can go and worship him. In his heart he said, tell me where he is so I can go and kill him. Now, you know that the angels told the wise man to go in a different way back to Babylon where they came from. And when Herod heard that, what did he do? He knew that the baby was 2 years and down. So he sent soldiers to Bethlehem and said, drag out every baby born 2 years and down and just kill them. You remember reading that in the Bible? So that's how Satan tried to simply destroy the Messiah. It didn't work, because the Holy Spirit told Joseph to take them to Egypt for a while until Herod was dead. Then we had Satan. When Jesus was 30 years old, he tempted him 3 times. And each time, Jesus said, it is written, he rebuked him. Now, if you read the four Gospels, who controlled the Jewish leadership? Satan. Let me shoot that verse here. This is the bonus scripture here. Turn quickly to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. And this is what Jesus told the Jews that were around him. You are of your father, the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abhorrent in the truth, because there is truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Now, what did the high priest and the leadership say? This man must die. We cannot have him here because he is threatening our livelihood. Satan possessed them. You know the Bible says that Satan got into Judas so he could betray Jesus. So, Lucifer and his fallen angels and the demons, they had all came to Jerusalem like a convention. And they was watching the proceedings. And they saw Jesus being whipped. They saw him being led to Calvary. They saw him crucified. And Satan said, I got him. 3 hours later, between 12 and 3 o'clock, Jesus' body died. And Jesus went to paradise for 3 days and three nights. Lucifer thought, I have screwed up the redemption plan. What he did not know was that when Jesus hung on the cross, which is God himself, God the Father took every sin from Adam and Eve to the last person living and laid them upon Jesus. And when all the sins had been laid upon him, he judged him severely. It was the wrath of God hitting Jesus. And then Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because at that time he was separated by the sin. A few moments later, Jesus said, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost and left the body hanging there. That the devil didn't know. And when he found out that that God himself had paid for the sins, he got furious and realized, I got deceived. And if you read the book of Acts, what's the first thing that he did? He persecuted the church. Has persecuted since that time. I'm going to read Ephesians 3, 1 through 6. For this cause, Paul, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for to you Gentiles, if you've heard a dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to your word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ, which in other ages or times were not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partake of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So now we have the mystery is solved. Notice now, if you take the Roman Catholic Church, you take a number of other churches, they never tell you about being born again. So Satan realized, okay, I lost the deal of the cross, but I'm going to make sure that people do not know this so that they will not be redeemed. I was told this is a study that came out, that there are something like maybe a couple of 100,000 bank accounts in the United States that are unclaimed. People had a savings account, moved around, didn't close it, and it's been growing, getting interest and so on. Some of them are pretty hefty bank accounts. And there is a committee or some kind of a working group that are trying, they know from the banks all the accounts that are sitting there, and they are trying to find the owners so they can notify them and say, hey, you got $300,000 sitting in here. And sometimes they find the people, sometimes they have died. Now, the idea is to get people to know that you might have a bank account that you don't know about. So this is what Satan did and does. Simply saying this, no, you don't have to be born again. There's no hell, there's no heaven, you don't need to be saved, everybody's going to heaven and so on. So turn with me now quickly to the book of Job. I'm going to have to condense this a little bit. You can read the whole scriptures yourself. So I'm just going to tell you this now. There is a courthouse located in the second heaven, not in the throne room of God. Satan cannot have access there. But there is a courthouse set up for the devil, his fallen angels. Job 1, chapter 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also among them. Good angels, bad angels show up at this court. The court is open at certain times. So now, and the Lord said to Satan, notice now, Jesus, which is Jesus here, didn't say, Satan, you cannot come here. Satan has the legal right to go to the courthouse. He can send his fallen angels there. The demons are like sheriff deputies or policemen. They follow you continually. When you break one of God's commandments, they give you a ticket. The ticket is taken to a fallen angel. That ticket will be taken to the courthouse. And that fallen angel is a prosecutor, would simply say, so-and-so committed adultery last night. I now ask for permission to strike the person. And all Jesus can say is, yes, he broke the commandment, guilty. You have legal permission to strike. This is something that you don't learn in the seminary. This is not simply something you learn in the churches. Because if you know that, you can make sure that you get as few tickets as possible. And if you get a ticket before that sucker goes up to the courthouse, you go on your knees and say, God, forgive me for that sin. And you got the blood washing over you, cleaning you out. And when that fallen angel comes up there, Jesus said, that, I see the ticket, but it's all taken care of. Dismissed. That's what we do in deliverance. This is what Lisa talked about today. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, that one that fears God and eschews evil? Job was also a preacher. He tells it later in the book of Job. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught, or does Job worship you for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands. His substance is increased in the land. But put forth your hand now, touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. What does Satan want from you? He wanted to be so disgusted that you're going to blame God for everything that happened. And he wants you to be angry with God. And the Lord said to Satan, look at this verse now. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only upon himself put not forth your hand. So Satan went forth for the presence of the Lord. And then he struck him. And we read from verse number 17, the Chaldeans made out three bands, fell upon the camels, have carried them away, yea, and slain the servant with the edge of the sword, and I only escaped alone to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in the elders' brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon a young man, and they are dead, and I only escaped alone to tell you. Job lost everything, his business, his children. He got nothing except his wife left. What did Job do? Then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Notice now, this was before the cross. Job did not have power. First of all, he did. What we read here was given to him after his deliverance. So when this happened to him, Job did not know that they had been up in the courthouse and that God had given permission. Today, we have knowledge. When you're attacked by a demon, something happens to you. If a car blows up, you know, you have an accident, somebody gets sick, and so on. Some of the first thoughts coming into you is this: God did this. God is at fault. Satan wants you to curse God. He wants you to get mad at God and curse God. He's trying to simply stack up his evidence. I'll let you read the second chapter yourself. Let's talk now about refurbishing the earth. And we go down here to Genesis chapter 2. And we read here from verse 15 through 20. And this is how God formed man. So let's just read it quickly here. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die. And the Lord said, it is not good for the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, closed up his flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. Now, that was written some 6,000 years ago. And God did not explain, or Jesus did not explain, and says, but Adam, let me tell you about DNAs. I'm going to take a rib from you, and I'm going to clone this stuff here, and I'm going to make you a nice-looking woman. He didn't do that. Now, what do you do when you have surgery today? You have a specialist, a special doctor, that is doing the anesthesia. He's specializing in that. He sits behind your head, and he's monitoring, and he's making sure that just enough goes in to keep you out, but not enough to stop your heart. Jesus simply said, I put him in a deep sleep. I put him to sleep. So let me take you back to the outline here now. Jesus created a physical universe so vast it was measured in light years. That's how we measured it. Light travels 186,000 miles per second. And the light year is how far the light can travel in 1 year at that speed. The universe is billions of light years big. Individual planets are grouped together in solar systems, galaxies, clusters, superclusters. Now, Jesus wanted to explain it in terms that Adam could understand, knowing the creation story would be part of the Bible and be read by future generations of humans. If you turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 12, we get a word here that Daniel got a revelation. And we read it from verse number 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Look at that. Many are the wise. How do you get wise? You get born again. And we are going to minister to people. But you, O Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And I, Daniel, looked, And behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on one side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, these are angels talking, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard a man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and he sware by him that lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall accomplish to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for your words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. If you look upon our knowledge base today, it is immense compared to what Daniel had. We can magnify things we can see into the atomic world. We have nanotechnology. We can send in a camera in an artery. We can do all kind of different things. We have satellites. We have rockets. We got computers. We have cloned animals. Man has done a lot of different things. And if you take all that knowledge and compare it with the Bible, you will begin to understand, oh, that's how it was done. Let's go back to the outline again on page number 3. Jesus told Adam that God, and the word God in the book of Genesis is Elohim, which means gods. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. So God created the heavens. Jesus stated, and now we go back to Genesis chapter 1 here. Jesus stated to him that the earth was destroyed, there was no light, and the earth was covered with water, and the Holy Spirit moved upon the waters. And we read that scripture before. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The space war had simply destroyed whatever lights, stars had been shining upon the earth before. They were knocked out. By the way, the sun, as we know today, is a hydrogen bomb. It is a fission up there with hydrogen. They have estimated its mass, and our sun is going to last 5,000 years, and then it's burned out. So the sun is not eternal. It has a beginning, and it has an end. Adam was told that light had been created. Part of the earth would have light, while the other part was in darkness. Notice now that Jesus did not explain to Adam that the earth was a planet that rotated on an axis. Verses 3 and 5. And God saw the light, and it was good. God divided light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, this is the earth. The earth is rotating around itself, about 24-hour period. At the same time, the earth is tilting back and forth. So, this is why we have summer and winter. So, right now, we are in the northern hemisphere. We are being tilted up closer to the sun. And about June 20th or something like that, it will be max. Now, in the south, this is what I have there, wintertime, in South America, South Africa, and Australia. After June 20th, they begin to tilt back again, and it tilts back like this. And then at midwinter, around January, actually December, about 24th, 25, we tilt it this way. Now, we have winter, and they have summer, and then it tilts back. At the same time, it is moving like this around the sun. It takes about a year to go around the sun. So think now about how intricate this is. You spin it, you tilt it, and you move it around the sun. And it is constant. Now, you do notice that if you drive your car and you turn the engine off, you're going to roll for a little while, but you're going to come to stop because of friction. Here's what I'm telling you. Jesus is inserting energy, and all this is rotating, held together by gravity for the different planets and solar systems, and it's very intricate. You can make calculations. We can send rockets and stuff up in satellites. Now, Jesus did not tell that to Adam. Look how simple he said. He said this, and God called the light day, in the darkness he called it night, and even in the morning were the first day. So, Jesus didn't want Adam to know too much. This might blow some of your minds, but let's look now upon verses 6 and 8. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. How do you take water and divide water? You've got to have something between. Here's what God did, or Jesus did. He simply sucked up a lot of water, put it in an orbit around the earth, it froze, and now became a canopy. You might say, isn't that far-fetched? We have an ozone layer around the earth. And that ozone layer protects us from the ultraviolet rays. If you heard this, that there's some places the ozone layer has thinned out, and we have problems with the sun. And God called the firmament of heaven, and the evening and the morning was the second days. So, on page number 3 there, my outline, I say this. There was no rain on the earth prior to Noah's flood. A mist from the ground rose every night and watered the trees and the plants. So turn to Genesis 2, 5 through 6, and we read this. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But they went up in mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. You know, we have something like this today. We have hot houses where we simply have the plants hanging down, the roots hang down in the air, and the mist of water and nutrients is sprayed upon these plants. And that's how we grow them, and we can have year-round harvesting. So the Bible says here now that it had not rained. Keep your finger there. We turn to Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. What was Noah warned about? A flood. How's a flood come? Water comes in. And it says here that Noah had not seen. Moved with fear, prepared an ark that is saving his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness by faith. Then go to your last page. Genesis 7:11. And we read there the following. And in the 600th year of Noah's life, in his second month, 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven was open. What is a window? It is something you can see through. So what we had now, we had a perfect climate. The sun shine on it. We had the ozone layer. We got this canopy of frozen water. And the earth was perfect. Not cold, not hot. It was a beautiful climate to live in. And it lasted for 1,600 years until the flood. We do know this now because we have been able to see that under the earth, that we do know that under the ground, on every continent, are large amounts of water, huge amounts of water stored. So God broke up the deep and pushed it up. He opened the windows of heaven. He simply unlocked it. It fell down, turned into rain, and it took 40 days to get all that water down for the canopy. Because the Bible says it rained for 40 days. Let me do the part number 5 here. In much the same way that the earth was covered with water during Noah's flood, the earth was also covered with water at the time of the refurbishment. Everyone who lived on earth when Lucifer was regent had been drowned by a worldwide flood. Jesus told Adam that he had severed the waters and created dry land. I'm going to stop here, but this is what I want you to take home with you today. We had things happening before Adam and Eve were created. We talked about the space war. We talked about the temptation of Adam and Eve. And the reason you and I exist is to prove God's righteousness. That's the reason you and I exist. We're going to be rewarded when we come to heaven. God wants us to be saved. And that's why the battle is so hard. Because Satan sees Jesus in every saved person. And every person who's not saved, Satan says, I'm going to keep them locked up. I'm going to hinder them from hearing. And I got to whack out the Christians. So, this is part of the demon world, as we're going to learn further messages how this works. So we are in a hostile environment. We are always watched by evil spirits. And we have to walk in faith. What do we have working for us? God's holy angels and the Holy Spirit. With God's angels and the Holy Spirit, we can take care of anything the devil has. That's why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is fought by the churches. They wanted to take that away. They wanted to take away the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So that's as far as I'm going to take you today. Now, study this yourself. Check it out. And you will find what I told you here today is in the Bible. We can deduce this by simply looking upon technology today. But the Bible said, we merged two of them, and we said, oh, that's how it happened. That's how it is. And if you know how things are, you know how to fight. That's the whole point. Now, if you watch me today and you're not saved, and you says, you know, I really want to get in on this salvation, here's what you do. Right now where you are, just confess that you're a sinner, that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross for you and rose on the third day. You believe he paid for your sins. And simply say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me of my sins. I repent. I believe in Jesus. Come on in, Jesus, and save me. And you will be saved. When we finish here, you see the screen change, three crosses will come up, and then you will hear the soothing voice of Pastor Charles saying, "My friend," and he will spend a few minutes with you, take you through salvation, read some scriptures, and pray with you. Stay with him and get saved today, and then give us a call, write us, and let's rejoice with you. And to those of you that are walking with the Lord, study this message here. Think about it. Let it penetrate your soul and understanding so that you can become a very well-trained Christian soldiers. You will know your territory, you know your enemy, you will know your weapons, and you can be very, very effective. That's what I'm praying for that will happen to you. Do we have Thomas in the building? Okay, Pastor Charles, would you come in close?
Father God, as we open up the Bible for the first time and we read and we learn a little bit and we continue reading and we learn more, Father, the things that Pastor John is sharing here is not necessarily the light stuff, that God loves you and there is a Savior, but it focuses on the fact that we have a very real spiritual enemy that exists, invisible to our eyes, that this is in fact a prison planet, and life is not always exactly as it seems, that we exist here in the physical world, but there is a spiritual world that is just as real. And so, Father God, as we're going through this series, help us just to understand what the reality is that surrounds us, that life, there's more to life than just the physical world and living our lives here on this earth, but there is an eternity that comes afterwards, and it's an eternity that can be filled with joy and love and peace in heaven, or it can be filled with the gnashing of teeth and pain in the lake of fire. So, Father God, help us to be soul winners as we go out to just to share the knowledge it is that we know, and not hate people, but to love people enough to give them the gospel. This is our prayer now, in Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the third part in the series, The Demonic World, and was entitled, Restoring the Earth. The creation narrative of the earth was shared with Adam, but Jesus did not provide details as to what had taken place in eternity past. Humanity was created to prove God was righteous, and Adam and Eve were purposely kept in the dark about the angelic insurrection and the refurbishment of the earth. Jesus told Adam that the earth had been damaged to the point that it was without form. There was no light, and the surface was covered with water. The only positive thing was the Holy Spirit hovering over the oceans. Adam was not told how this destruction took place or who the Holy Spirit was, so he could face the devil's temptation without bias. Further information was later revealed to the prophets, and Jesus told Daniel that knowledge would increase in the latter times. It is an honor and privilege for the human race to be specifically created to show the spirit world that our Creator is not malevolent, but a God of love, kindness, and righteousness. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1759. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.